Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Grand Biocentric Design by Robert Lanza presents a provocative case that life and consciousness are not late arriving byproducts of a pre-existing universe, but central players in how reality takes shape. Building on the broader biocentrism framework associated with Lanza, the book invites readers to rethink everyday assumptions about space, time, matter, and observation. Rather than treating the mind as something trapped inside a mechanical cosmos, it explores how perception, information, and the act of measurement may be woven into the foundations of physics. The discussion draws on well-known scientific puzzles, such as quantum measurement, the role of the observer, and the apparent fine-tuning of the universe, using them to argue that standard materialist explanations leave key questions unresolved. Written for curious non-specialists as well as scientifically literate readers, the book aims to bridge modern physics and the study of consciousness, offering a bold conceptual design in which reality is inseparable from the living systems that experience it. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, biocentrism as a framework for reality. A central topic is the shift from a universe-first worldview to a life-first worldview. The book frames biocentrism as the claim that biological experience is not merely occurring inside reality, but is part of the mechanism by which reality is defined and structured. This reframing challenges the default assumption that matter, space, and time exist fully formed and independent of observers. Instead, it invites readers to consider whether what we call the external world is inseparable from the ways living systems register information, build models, and create stable meanings from sensory input. The argument typically contrasts standard materialism with an observer-participatory picture, where measurement and experience are not passive recordings but active constraints that produce definite outcomes. In this view, many persistent mysteries in physics and philosophy are treated as signs that our starting assumptions are wrong, by placing life and consciousness at the center. Biocentrism aims to offer a unifying lens across disciplines, suggesting that physics describes regularities of observation and interaction rather than a detached, fully objective stage. The topic sets the foundation for later discussions of quantum phenomena, time, and cosmology by asserting that the observer is not an afterthought but a key variable. Secondly, quantum measurement and the role of the observer. The book highlights quantum mechanics as a major pressure point for classical realism, focusing on how measurement seems to matter in a way that defies everyday intuition. Readers are typically guided through the idea that quantum systems can be described by sets of possibilities, yet specific outcomes appear when observations occur. This is used to motivate the claim that the observer cannot be fully removed from the description of nature. Rather than presenting observation as mystical, the discussion often treats it as the physical and informational interaction that turns potentialities into recorded facts. The topic explores why familiar explanations that assume a fully objective world can feel incomplete when faced with phenomena like superposition, uncertainty, and the dependence of results on experimental setup. From a biocentric perspective, the observer is not simply a human witness, but any living system capable of registering and organizing information in a consistent way. The point is not that people consciously will particles into place, but that the definition of what is real is tied to the network of interactions that produce stable records and experiences. By centering measurement, the book argues that reality may be less like a pre-written script and more like a process that becomes definite through participation. Thirdly, space and time as constructs of perception. Another major theme is the idea that space and time may be modes of organizing experience rather than fundamental containers that exist on their own. The book uses this theme to question why we treat time as a universal flowing river and space as an absolute backdrop, when both can be approached as frameworks built by brains to coordinate events, objects, and survival-relevant predictions. The argument suggests that living systems evolve to compress and interpret information efficiently, and in doing so, they generate stable concepts like distance, sequence, and duration. These concepts feel external and objective because they are shared and reliably useful, but usefulness does not necessarily equal fundamental status. By emphasizing perception, the book encourages readers to ask whether the world as experienced is a joint product of what is out there and how observers carve it into manageable structure. This topic often connects to physics by noting that modern theories already complicate naive notions of time and simultaneity, and to consciousness studies by examining how awareness stitches moments into continuity. In a biocentric design, space and time are not ultimate primitives but interfaces. Ooh, and rethinking them opens alternative ways to approach puzzles about origins, cosmology, and the nature of existence itself. Fourthly, cosmology, fine-tuning, and why the universe seems habitable. The book also addresses big-picture cosmological questions, especially the striking fact that the universe appears compatible with life. instead of treating habitability as a lucky accident within a purely mind-independent cosmos, the biocentric approach reframes the question if observers are necessary for a defined reality. Then a universe that supports observers is not surprising, but structurally expected. This topic engages with familiar public debates around fine-tuning, the apparent delicacy of physical constants, and why the laws of nature seem mathematically elegant and stable. The discussion does not need to rely on supernatural conclusions to question materialist assumptions. Instead, it suggests that the way we pose the problem already assumes an observer-free universe that later happens to produce minds, and that this starting point may be backward. By reversing the direction, the book proposes that the conditions we call real are tightly linked to the existence of beings capable of observation and meaning. Whether or not readers accept the conclusion, the topic offers a coherent alternative to purely chance-based accounts and encourages a deeper look at how observation, information, and physical law might be connected. It also provides a bridge between quantum-level questions and the large-scale structure of reality. Lastly, philosophical implications for self, meaning, and mortality beyond physics. The biocentric design has implications for how readers think about personal identity, meaning, and the limits of a strictly material account of mind. If reality is not a fixed external object, but a process shaped by observers, then consciousness becomes more than a bystander, and the self is not easily reduced to a disposable side effect of chemistry. This topic explores how the framework can influence existential questions, what it means to be an experiencing subject, how continuity of experience is constructed, and why the world feels coherent and shared despite being mediated by perception. The book encourages readers to notice the difference between models and what models are trying to capture, and to consider how life filters reality into a usable world. This can lead to practical reflections, such as becoming more aware of assumptions, being less captive to rigid narratives, and recognizing that interpretation plays a role in what counts as real in daily life. While the book is primarily conceptual rather than a self-help manual, it can still reshape how readers relate to uncertainty, change, and mortality by offering a worldview in which mind and reality are deeply intertwined. The topic closes the loop by showing that the argument is not only about particles and galaxies, but about lived experience. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who enjoy big questions at the intersection of physics, philosophy, and consciousness studies, including scientifically curious general readers, students looking for conceptual challenges, and anyone dissatisfied with purely mechanical explanations of mind. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening how they think about assumptions what they consider objective, how perception frames experience, and why certain questions remain stubborn in mainstream interpretations of quantum theory and cosmology. Even if a reader ultimately disagrees with biocentrism, the framework can improve critical thinking by forcing a careful look at what words like reality, observation, and time actually mean. Compared with similar popular science titles, the value here is its single-minded focus on a unifying premise and its willingness to follow that premise into both physics and human meaning. Many books either stay technical and narrow or drift into vague spirituality. This one aims for a bold but structured argument that tries to keep the discussion anchored to well-known scientific puzzles. For buyers, it offers a distinctive worldview that can refresh familiar debates and provide an organized lens for exploring consciousness, measurement, and the universe's apparent fit for life. If you would like to support Robert Lanza, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.